Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, emote, Africa, umse, the beautiful African, izwi lethu, fatsi la rona, the land is ours, tiko ra hina, shangu lashu. Africa, the appeal to you, the call to you, is to vote. Africa, claim your sovereign right to vote. Register, Africa. Register to vote. That's my Africa. And my Africa, who did not vote in the last local and national elections, please, my Africa, the call on you is to register. Exercise your duty, your sovereign duty, your patriotic duty, to vote as my Africa. As you say, my Africa, the policies come from the ground. They have to come from the branches, because the branches is the root, and the root, the individuals, my Africa, are the root on the ground. That's where policies must emanate. But my Africa, you cannot be the last one at the local council to implement policies that are made by appointed, unelected deployees to parliament. And sometimes these deployees, they make policies that are initiated by consultants. And the majority of these consultants are foreign. And some of them are colonial agents. And we are still perpetuating that colonial occupation. We are the facilitators, the enablers of this colonial occupation. So, my Africa, register to vote, my Africa, locally. And to the other Africa who is it intentionally, maliciously, or for greed, power greed, you go and intervene against my Africa registering to vote under the Independent Election Commission. Why don't you leave it? Leave it, leave it, leave it. Don't be counter-revolutionary to your own. This is this madness has to stop. It has to come to a stop. Let them vote, and then you can fight the battles internally if they're internal battles. But don't take it out in the street and block my Africa from registering to vote. That is the height of counter-revolutionary action that one has never envisaged. You are doing more than the enemy could do to us. As you say, my Africa, policies emanate from the individual, my Africa. And we are saying that, my Africa, at the local level, yes, got to be elected. But at parliament level, any parliamentary office, any government office, official, if not a civil servant, if wanting to lead, you got to be elected. Members of parliament must be elected no matter, and whoever the political party may be, representative may be. It does not matter which political representative is elected. Elect the people. Let them get the mandate. Let them get the mandate from the communities. And communities to retain the right to petition, right to recall, and right to hold these local representatives and parliament representatives accountable. Those who fail to represent us fully in Africa, call them back. Those who fail their constituencies, call them. You have the right to do that. And this is particularly to the young intellectuals, emerging revolutionaries. The liberation is done. The problem is a system. It's a process. Capture the process inside. Stop consultants making laws for you. Elect your representative to make the laws, and then these laws must emanate from the communities. So we are calling Africa to elect the People's Parliament in place of the political party parliament or party appointee cadre parliament. It's not good. It does not serve our purpose. In fact, it's counter-revolutionary. It's undermining us collectively as the majority, because that proportional system was meant to protect the minorities, and it's splitting us. The majority are split. We say that, Africa, government money. You own that money, Africa. The community owns the government money. the parties don't have money. They get it from the government. That's your money. And you have to have your own community representative in parliament to fight for the community fair and equal share of the government money. It must just drop, and then you are a councillor there, and then there's no relationship between the two of you. And a little civil lesson in Africa as to what exactly is happening in our parliament, some of the print media at home. Now, say the party parliament, this parliament we have here, which is a party parliament, suffers poor attendance levels. And it suffers that in portfolio committees and the National Assembly. Now, the structure is that you have 79 portfolio committees in parliament. And in these portfolio committees, there are 11 MPs sitting in each committee. And these are the engines, Mafrika. They run the parliament. They are the people that bring up the laws. And if they don't come from your community, how would they know? Sometimes I see them standing up and say that, okay, this community needs... No. You can tell them at a bar. Meet them at a bar or picnic or somewhere at the corners. But they have to come from your community. It must not be a laissez faire affair that is open. No. Mm-mm. It don't work. They must be accountable to somebody. Now, you have 11 MPs sitting in each committee, and as you say that these are the engines of making laws. And these committees in Africa, they run short of people sometimes. They can't make a quorum. And if you don't make a quorum, you cannot pass laws. Even the minutes, the past minutes of the last minute, they can't pass them because most of the time they don't have a quorum. And what they do is they run around in the hallways. Okay, they've been running around in the hallways. So, hey man, come. We are short of the. Come and fill it up. And when these fill ups come in, the patch ups come in. They don't know the legislation. They just get briefed. No, Mafrika, today we are voting. Comrade, not Mafrika. Comrade, we are voting this today. So you just brief him 2 minutes. That's the legislation. Don't know anything about the legislation. You just go in there to rubber stamp. That's it. So they co-opt MPs onto committees at the last minute just to make up the numbers required for a vote. This is a typical cattle voting. And the opposition members now they have opposed to this practice. They say, no. You co-opt your members to come in. They don't know. They don't know anything about the legislature then. Sometimes they know very little. But most of the time, they don't know much about the matter to be voted or decided on. So they're trying to change that. But North Africa, the national quorum, let's say the National Assembly, requires 201 of the 400 members. Now, the National Assembly has 400 MPs. Requires 201 of the members to form a quorum. Guess what? Almost 72 of those members. Almost 72, Mafrika. They are either in the cabinet. They serve in the cabinet as ministers or deputy ministers. Therefore, Mafrika, if they are caught up with the executive, we're supposed to be separate to the legislature. That's why we are saying that. What are these cabinet ministers doing? They are the president's executive cabinet. Let them stay with the president. Leave the people's parliament alone. Now, for example, Mafrika, there was a bill. National Assembly was supposed to be the Division of Revenue Bill. Division of Revenue Bill. It means revenue is money, your money, okay? Division, it means you split. And guess what? This was a bill to fund provincial and local governments. And these people, they couldn't pass that bill. March 2015. It couldn't be passed because they didn't form a forum. They were not there. Some of them were in the executive and going, so they have to be wait two, 3 days, 4, 5 days. Now you tell me, who are these people responsible to? But let's leave these people out because these are, as I said, gallivanters. These are vacationers. They're having it nice, okay? They're having it nice. These are our brethren. They happen to be there, but no. It's like Kool-Aid to them. drinking Kool-Aid, lots of Kool-Aid, and I don't know, fat in between and what. Now, the question is, the communities, do you know anything about this? Do you have your own representatives? Because it looks like these guys had to come back to be called in from the hallways. Oh, no, no, rubber stamp this. That's why legislation is, everything is falling apart. And this is, the call is to the young ones. The bill allocates money to the people's, the bill allocates money to provincial and local governments. And your MPs, Mafrika, did not attend. They had to be told, no, 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 come back another day. The bill was passed on another day. Who watches over your money, the public money? Who decides over your public money, Mafrika? These guys do not care. Let's attend. Unless they are calling a reminder, it's a happy, merry festivity of some sorts. That's why, Mafrika, you are suffering. You're suffering, Mafrika, as an individual, or all eating dust. And we are responsible. You got to change this. Mafrika, the young ones, the battle now, the freedom is there. It's a question of running the institutions, the processes, and systems. You have to fight to amend the Constitution. Let's not have these sheep, cattle, vulgar sitting there occupying our space. No. No, Mafrika. So the governing party has 249 of the 400 seats, 151 to the opposition, all right? As you said, that 72 allocated cabinet ministers and deputy ministers. What are they doing? They belong to the executive. There has to be separate. Look, Mafrika, we copy white man stuff. We said that we're going to take from the east, we're going to take from the west. The good from the east, the good from the west, all right? You've taken a democratic system. Now, you are making it a system of sycophants. Worse than messengers. Worse than messengers, my friend. Obedient servants. To who? Because the vote is ours. That is our vote. And that is our money. That is our parliament. And it so happens that the opposition, Mafrika, recently wanted to pass a motion of no confidence, an impeachment motion. And they were saying that because these MPs who are in cabinet, they have a conflict of interest. They are serving the executive and they are serving the legislature. You can't do two at the same time. Of course, you know, that's, I don't know. If you want to have a black man or somebody do a dirty job, you get a black man to do it. Come on, we are doing that to ourselves. This is not displaying the most inferiority tendencies. And it is manifest. You take the other people's thing, the colonialist parliament, and then you're changing into something else. You're changing into something else. So they even had to go to a point of getting an electronic monitoring system to deal with, to get a grip on the absenteeism. But spend money to what? To who are these people responsible? They are not responsible to. They can just stay there one day. No, they are not responsible. And you got some punishments, of course. They say that if you are absent for 15 consecutive days, therefore you can be gotten rid of parliament, all right? And then if you are 3 days absent in a committee, you are charged 1,000 rand each for each missed meeting. These people are getting 80,000 rand per month, more than 50,000 rand per month, sometimes 100,000. But it's 1,000 rand. And also the principle here is that this is the people's parliament. They are responsible to Mafrika. So come on, wake up. The example of the Inkandla issue, Mafrika. Well, the allegation was, okay, so the allegation is recorded. The public protector came back and said, Mr. President, we spent more than 250 million rands of the public money. Some of it was stolen. Fine. Pay some of the money back for features that were not security related. And she mentioned this 1, 2, 3, 4. And please pay back a portion of the money. And there was a row. We saw it on TV. The only people that I remember stood up was in the presidency's office, one of the top advisors, an elderly man, and let me say it, Mark Maharaj and Benturov. Those two stood up and said, pay some of this money back. Pay it back. No, I don't remember any other MP or anybody standing up and says, no, you got to pay some of the money. But it also happens that the chief whip now is now resigned. He's going to be an ambassador somewhere. He turns out and says that, look, we, it means parliament, have been consistent on our position that the president needed to pay a portion of the Inkandla money in line with the public protector's decision. Fine. And he goes on to say that the ad hoc committee report in parliament supported the public protector's recommendation that the president must pay back a reasonable amount. And there are no two ways about this. If you disagree with the public protector, you needed to take their report for a judicial review. That's what he said a couple of days ago. And there was some opposition in Africa because, in fact, one of the spokespersons for the governing party said, as we have repeatedly emphasized, both inside and outside of parliament, other committees, parliament consideration of these reports and its recommendations did not in any way seek to replace, rewrite, or second guess that of the public protector. It so happened that the very parliament assigned the Minister of Police to produce his report, all right? And it came out saying that the president must not pay a penny. And Mafrika, according to the ruling party, the caucus Mafrika, the ruling party, remember Mafrika, they were issuing statements, vehement, condemning, and they'd been calling her, you know, the shape of her nose, shape of her face, nose is like, come on, man. It was a row. And some of the statements Mafrika, to quote, we should not and cannot apologize when we say the report of the public protector has misled the nation. All right? Another one said that we expressed our disgust at the level people can undermine this country. The president didn't elect himself. The majority said they want him to lead and he must be protected. It's not his choice. Now, I'm just quoting Africa. And goes on to say that we must be careful before we can say there are serious allegations against the president. Okay, fine. But it turns out, Mafrika, recently, as you know, the matter was taken to the court, constitutional court, because the opposition couldn't stand these guys. I remember they said, no, we'll see in court. We'll see in court. And they took the matter to court. And somersault, Mafrika, 360 degrees. The very same people somersaulted. In fact, the president somersaulted. He said, no, you know, plea bargained. The president acted in error of law, did not intentionally and maliciously, that's what I added, did not defy the public protector, that the courts not be buckled to the rule. The president acted in contempt and flagrantly violated his ethical duties under the Constitution. Now, the courts not be buckled to the ruling. The president acted in contempt and flagrantly violated his ethical duties under the Constitution. That will be wrong if the court ruling may result in a call for impeachment. That's what the president's lawyer said. All right. Now, the plaintiff's lawyers, of course, in motivation and argument, say that the president's singular heightened duty is to hold, defend, and respect the Constitution. He chose to resist on advice of a fee-hungry lawyer that said that seeking the judicial review findings would be disastrous for him. The findings would be grounds for impeachment. They did that 2 years after the fact. Now they come back and say, no, 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 please, man, please, please. Don't rule against, don't rule for impeachment. The call for impeachment because we are going under special circumstances. The nation is going to, no. There is no excuse for ignorance. There's no ignorance in the law. There's no. An error of law, I mean, that's plea bargaining. This is 2 years after waste, illegitimate expenditure investigation by the interministerial committees, parliament ad hoc committees, the plaintiff and defendant lawyers' fees that were paid by government. We paid that money. That is your money, Mafrika. Generally, 2 years after the fact, you come and plead. You acted in error of law. And it will be wrong if the court really may result in a call for impeachment. But I've pointed out, Mafrika, this stuff I'm repeating intentionally. What I've pointed out in the past is that you did not transform completely. All right, there are people who are still in government who hate you. They will undermine you. They undermine the black government. And you are playing into their hands. That's why we are calling my Africa. We say stand up because we cannot afford or continue this disgrace, national disgrace, us acting inferior. And everybody sees that because the white folks are in control of the thing. The so-called supremacists are still in control. So, my Africa, going back to the students, because 1976, there was a student revolt. And that revolt, the students from kindergarten, primary, lower primary school, high school, they resisted the regime. The regime was trying to impose Africans, remove English as a medium of instruction. The children said, no, we cannot learn. We are not going to swallow the Congress or the apartheid settler regime language down our throat. We're not going to do it. And 1976, by 1994, they've engaged in the most vociferous, it was an accomplishment. You talk about touchdown, that was revolutionary. The children won. 21 years after the fact, in Africa, we have some universities called Africa. I'm going to quote some of the quotations here. 21 years after the fact, you got students, Mafrika. And before I get there, as individual Mafrika, the students in particular, do you not think that your suffering is unique to you? And you are very important, a key person in the community. What we're saying is that you got to stand up, all right? You don't have to suffer and only produce a video. Listen. You produce the video after how many years? How many years, huh? Is that the way that you can exercise your sovereign right or as a voter or as Africa, your freedom and liberation? No, that's not the point. We are saying that, Africa, these young ones, you the young ones, push this government to take over, to give us back our parliament, to establish, get these bulgus people and the hangers on, the parasites, the gatekeepers out of parliament. No, they've been there for 21 years. They've made their insurance. And we are repeating, Mafrika, for that. There's a particular reason why I repeat this. Because that is crucial, Mafrika. So vote locally. Register to vote as Mafrika locally. But also push to amend the constitution so that we elect the people's parliament. Now, these are the quotations of the students. I was looking at that video, Mafrika. These are the quotations of the students. One said that I feel it's wrong to be black. This is a university student. He feels like it's wrong to be black. Huh? Another one said that cannot get the degree because they cannot take or understand the courses in Africans. Now, they speak English, don't speak English, other African languages, and then they impose academic Africans on them. Academic. And then there was one student, two male students, young men in dreadlocks, all right? He says that sometimes one day he took a dance with a female student. They danced, and then he went back and sat down, you know. And one of these racist rogues came, bought a glass full of liquor, beer, threw, emptied that whole beer on the man's head. Just because he was dancing with a white woman. You remember Emmett Till? I was speaking to one of the Africa here and said, Emmett Till, you know. They said that he whistled at a white woman. And he tells me that, no, Emmett Till was, he had a stammer. Right? He was stammering. So what is it? That white woman said, no, this man is whistling at me. That's why he was killed. Now, it's almost what? How many years have I, Emmett Till? We have the same situation where you go dance with a white woman and somebody empties a glass of beer on you. in your land, the land of the African majority that you fought for, 21 years after 1994. And some of the white students would ask the black students, what are you doing here? And one important quote here, it says, the color of my skin at Stellenbosch University is like a social burden. You walk around, it's like just walk into spaces. There is a stop, pause, and stare. You know, the stop, the pause, and stare? That people cannot believe that you dare enter their space. Or you dare enter the space. Another kid will say that 50-50 language policy, meaning you can teach in Afrikaans, you can. He says, yes, the most important lecture packages are done in Afrikaans, not in English. So we are failing. Another one goes on to say that we have a problem with Afrikaans, it's killing us. And most important, when a lecturer forgets, let's say teaches English, speaks English and forgets to speak in Afrikaans, one lecturer stood up and said, no, please remind me to speak in Afrikaans because sometimes I get caught up in some of these lectures. So if the lecturer gets caught up and then speaks in English forever, they would say, no, you have to speak Afrikaans. And one said that after 21 years of freedom, I have to fight to go to classes that I pay for like any other student. To go to class and understand what is being said in class. And the other one said people feel excluded on the grounds of language. That's what one lecturer was saying. And most important quote, Murphy, which I think is good, is the idea, one student, young student, black, male. The idea when they talk about transformation, we actually have been working very hard, that is they, have been working very hard, that we have translation devices to accommodate non-African speaking students, the majority black. And goes on to say that, who gave you the power to accommodate? Who gave you the power to accommodate me? To accommodate me, you must have the power, you must own the thing that I come into, meaning the university. So they say we are accommodating them, meaning the blacks, into an Afrikaans university. It says nonsense. There is no such a thing as an Afrikaans university in the country. The claim that we must be accommodated by the constitution to have our language and culture, at the same time, they are so powerful that they claim to accommodate the majority. You can have it both ways, but it happens here, every day. Mafrika, I'll quote Sobukwe. But before that, Mafrika, to the students, you must push to amend the constitution. You must register to vote, all right? Stand as Mo Africa, stand up for your rights, because why? You cannot do it by video. You own the People's Parliament, Mafrika. To quote Mafrika Sobukwe, politically we stand for a government of the Africans, for the Africans, by the Africans, with everybody who owes his or her loyalty only to Africa and accepts the democratic rule of an African majority being regarded as an African. We guarantee no minority rights because we are fighting precisely that group exclusiveness which those who plead for minority rights would like to perpetuate. We guarantee no minority rights because we think in terms of the individual, not groups. And we say that, Mafrika, the minority shall not rule over the majority. The minority shall not rule over the majority. Israel to Mafrika, we claim Africa for Africans. Fasilarona, Tikoraihina, Sangulashu, our land, Mafrika. Thanks for talking, for the privilege of talking to you, and thanks for the privilege of listening. Thank you, Mafrika.